We've got some very special guests tonight. We have Ann Rejo, and now Ann Rejo and Natalie Warren joining us. And I'm going to have to ask both of you, especially Ann, if I pronounced your last name right, because I forgot to ask you earlier.
Yep, that was right.
Oh, that's great. And these two young women are planning a big trip this summer, this spring and summer, and that's going up following the route that Eric Severoid took back in 1930 from Minneapolis all the way up to Hudson Bay, which is just a huge undertaking, but also a big adventure, a lot of fun. Welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thanks.
Nice to have you both here. Now, Ann, you're from Minnesota, but Natalie, you've come a long way from Florida.
Yeah.
And, but you've had some experience in the far north, both of you, mm-hmm. I believe, due to your relationship with YMCA Camp Minogen up the Gunflint Trail. You took an earlier big canoe trip.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we both went on the FOMS, which is the long trip in 2007.
And can you tell us a little bit about where that is and how long it took you?
Yeah, we did the Kazan and Kunwak Inuit Heritage Rivers in Nunavut, Canada. Mm-hmm. And so we paddled from south to north. We started in the taiga and then went into the tundra. And it was about 600 miles, and it took, we had about, 39 days on trail and a couple days in camp. And, yeah, I mean, we would go 30 days without seeing other people and just paddling whitewater, paddling 10 hours a day and in the tundra.
How many of you were there on that trip?
Seven. Okay. One guide and six campers.
Uh-huh. Was that your first experience at that far north to see that kind of landscape?
Yeah, we've mm-hmm. both been on month-long trips in Ontario on the Allan Water and Kapka Rivers, too.
Okay.
So the year before.
Yeah, so you had... How about mosquitoes? Did you get to know them intimately?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. We had bug jackets, and sometimes it would be so buggy that we would eat inside of our bug jackets, so we'd all just kind of be huddled, like...
Isn't that amazing what they can do?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Now, what time, was that in the spring, summer? What time was that? I knew it encompassed quite a long period of time, but...
Yeah, it was June.
It was mostly
August,
in July. Mid-August.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get away from them at some point?
When it got cold. It was hard to decide whether you liked it being cold and windy or warm and buggy. It's a tough balance there.
Yeah. But what an exciting trip. Now, that, I imagine your experience there kind of led you to this trip.
Mm-hmm.
At least thinking about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We've been talking about doing a long trip since.
Uh-huh.
We both go to St. Olaf College, and we were in the same freshman dorm, and now we live in the same dorm but a different room. And we've been talking about a long trip for a long time. I was a guide at Minogen,
mm-hmm.
and Natalie's been doing outdoor activities too.
Yeah. So had you read Eric Severoid's book, Canoeing with the Cree? Is that where the idea came from, or had you just heard about this?
Actually, Anne read the book and then approached me in January and was like, check this book out. I've done a lot of research, and no two women have ever done this historic, famous Minnesotan, route.
Yeah.
And so I read it, and I was like, yes, this sounds amazing. We need to do this.
Yeah. Well, what a history behind that, Eric Severoid being such a famous journalist and such a, he's good at everything that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, extremely good.
Yeah.
But also a good writer, and so it was incentive for you guys to follow in his footsteps, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things have changed a lot since 1930. Have you had to do more recent research to know the route as it is now?
Scott and Todd did the route in 2005 as the 75th anniversary commemoration
to the
book. And we met with Scott, and he is actually going, he encouraged us to do it. He said once we put our mind to it, it would be the perfect trip. And we're meeting with him on Tuesday to go over the route specifics.
Yeah, we got our maps.
And so. Who is Scott and Todd? What's their...
I think they were just two guys who decided to redo the trip, and they worked with the Minnesota Historical Society to make a 75th edition of the book.
Okay. So how did you meet these fellows? Their last names?
Scott Miller and Todd. I don't remember.
Okay,
so we just call them Todd.
Scott and Todd's close enough, I guess, for now. But it's a great idea, and you're kind of in a position in life where you can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, where it gets a little harder later, doesn't it, Bob?
To take 3 months off?
Yeah,
I would say so. Right. But this is, you're not only doing this to become the first women to do this route, you're also doing this to help Minogen out financially.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
We need about $2,500 to cover the costs of our trip because it costs $1,700 to get back in a plane and then $300 for the train ride back. And then we need some money for a sat phone too. But then the rest of the proceeds will go to Manojin. And
yeah, when we decided to do this, it wasn't going to be a trip for us, even though it is going to be a lot of fun. We wanted to have a cause behind it. And I mean, Manojin has been really, really important, just shaping our lives mm-hmm. and helping us go out into the wilderness and build confidence as women. And so we decided the best thing to do would be to help them fund other young women in the community in Minneapolis, St. Paul area to be able to afford to go on wilderness trips.
That's great. Now, how did each of you separately decide to go, because you met there, decide to go to Camp Manojin? How did that come into your lives? I know, Anne, you your folks have a cabin up the Gunflint Trail, so mm-hmm. for you it wasn't that big a leap.
Yeah, I've been going to, Manojin has a pancake breakfast in the spring, and I've been going to that since I was probably 2 years old or something. Mm-hmm. And then I actually, my best friend in high school went to Widgie, and I sort of like thought it was awesome and wanted to do something similar, but Manojin was closer to my family, so I decided to go there.
Yeah, and Natalie is a little further step for you coming
yeah.
from Florida to decide, hey, where is Manojin and what is it even?
Yeah, it was kind of random. I went to high school for jazz performance, and there was a piano player in my jazz band whose mom used to work at Manojin,
okay.
and he was also my neighbor in Miami. It was just kind of a small world thing, uh-huh. and he's like, Natalie, you seem like the kind of girl who would, you know, like going on canoe wilderness trips. And I mean, Minnesota was one of those states I forgot to mention, you know, when you're going through all the states, and it was just completely off my radar. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that sounds like something I would like to do. So yeah. I just kind of flew up here when I was 15 for my 14-day trip and absolutely fell in love. So.
Now, when you thought of Minnesota before you actually came up, is that what you thought of was Northwoods and lakes? And
no, I just thought of farmland.
Yeah,
yeah, to be honest.
Farmland and cold.
Yeah. Farmland
basically
and cold.
Is, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a big surprise that there is a world different than farms here. And,
oh my gosh, yes.
And it fit in with what you loved.
You should tell the story about the loons/wolves.
Oh, okay. So when I was on my 14-day trip, I had never heard a loon call before. And so we were all sleeping in the middle of the night, and I woke up to the loon calls, and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are wolves. There are wolves coming to our tent. And I like woke everyone up, freaking out that these wolves were going to attack us. And they were just looking at me like, are you serious right now?
Yeah.
These are just really beautiful nighttime loon calls. And you woke us up at 3 a.m. in the morning. But I mean, it was an experience. I definitely learned a lot about the outdoors up here.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, that is when you've never been here, never heard a loon, you didn't know.
No clue.
Exactly what it
now
was.
Now I know.
Yeah. Now, how are you going to raise the money? What kind of steps have you taken for marketing? And
Well, we sent a letter out to family and friends and things like that. And so we're getting a lot of small donations that are mm-hmm. piling up. We've got about $500 right now just from the last month, which is really great. And random people who hear about our trip are really, really excited about it and really want to support it. And along with that, we have our long trip guide from our FOMS mm-hmm. runs this nonprofit called Eat for Equity. And so we're trying to hook up with her to run an Eat for Equity for us. And what it is once a month they get together and put on this big dinner. People pay $10 and then they donate the money somewhere at the end of the night. And last time we were there, there were about 100 people. And so it's a huge thing in the cities now. So that's one of the main things on our radar. And besides that, we're trying to get as many media hits as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helping out.
Now, you do have a website started or a blog?
Yeah. HudsonBayBound.com is our website, and it's connected to our blog, too.
Okay.
And we have a PayPal account set up on there, so you can pay with a credit card. And then we also have a mail address at school that you can send checks mm-hmm. to.
And you set up the website yourselves?
Oh, we have a friend who's a computer science major who
did
it for us.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Really,
what a huge help that is.
For real.
Yeah.
So now you can use that and Facebook as well?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now we
you reach a lot of people.
194 friends, so six
as
more friends to 200.
how do people find your Facebook page?
It's called, if you just type Hudson Bay Bound in the search, then I think it should come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're on this trip, You're looking for a satellite phone as well. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be updating your Facebook or your blog, or how will people be able to follow you along on the trip?
For the first part of it, yeah. Okay. I mean, we're going through, you know, between the Dakotas and Minnesota. So yeah. When we stop in Montevideo and Fargo and things like that, we'll be able to stop and spend some time with the community and I'm sure blog about what we're doing. But once mm-hmm. we get past Norway House, unless we get sponsored with a satellite phone where we can call in to radio stations or something and update them on our trip. Other than that, we're gonna be in the middle of nowhere.
So you don't have the equipment to update through satellite to come back
right,
to
no,
your...
No, we don't.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clarify that. You know, so many folks now who go on these expeditions mm-hmm. are all set up with that stuff, and I know it's expensive, and mm-hmm. and but then everybody loves to follow along the way. But this kind of makes it more your own trip this way as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wanted to make the trip seem really accessible to people, too. So, uh-huh. I don't know, not having, like, the most expensive gadgets sort of sure. makes it a more common yeah. person trip, I guess.
Sure, just get out there. Mm-hmm. When are you leaving on the trip?
June 2nd.
Well, that'll come up pretty quickly, won't it?
Really yeah. quick. Yeah, we graduate May 29th. and my family flies from Minnesota back to Miami on June 1st. Okay. So we have that day to freak out.
Okay. And you're going to leave right from Minneapolis, right from Minnesota mm-hmm. River, or which river do you hop in?
Yeah, Minnesota River.
Okay.
And it's right down from Fort Snelling. So.
Okay. And then you're going to wind up western Minnesota and towards mm-hmm. Dakotas and then north?
Yeah, we're going upstream for the first 3 weeks or so. And uh-huh. then once we hit the Red River, we're going to be going downstream. And then we hit...
That'll feel good, won't it?
It'll feel so good. And then we'll be at Lake Winnipeg, which we're going to paddle up the east side. And then... Mm. Then we're going to catch the Hayes River to York Factory and hopefully get there before mid-September when nobody's there anymore.
You know, all these names that you read about in books and usually mm-hmm. in older books or explorers' books, you're going to be right there.
Yeah.
It'll be so exciting, huh? Mm-hmm. And how about gear? Are you able to find most of your gear? How's that all going?
Yeah, Stone Harbor in Grand Marais actually is giving us a Langford canoe. And it's going to be 17 feet long Prospector, mm-hmm. Made of Kevlar. Mm-hmm. And then we're working with Ostrom Outdoors in Thunder Bay for our packs. And yeah. Rutabaga in Wisconsin is helping us out with some other things. And I don't know, we've had a lot of sponsors.
That's great.
Wintergreen and yeah, we went to Canoecopia and walked around and people were really excited and enthusiastic.
Oh, good for you. That was really a good idea to go down there where all those people are.
Amazing. Yeah. We were so excited to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you leave and you get a little further north, what do you expect now? That you're leaving in June, so you're going to hit kind of the further northern horizons mm-hmm. In July, I suppose. What do you think weather's going to be like? Have you got a
pretty
good
cold
clue?
I mean, I was reading, there were two men who did it in 2008, and mm-hmm. I was reading their blog the other day, and the journal entry I was reading was like, it's June something, it started snowing. Oh, like, yeah. Oh, okay, all right, we got this.
Yeah, so you're going to have to bring some warmer duds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wintergreen in Ely, uh-huh. they're providing us with some warm layers, too.
Great.
Like their wind layer and their fleece. Yeah,
fleeces. Yeah. And you know, as you go further north, there bears live there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're aware.
Uh-huh. My neighbor is a hunter, and he said that we can borrow his shotgun if we want. But we've heard that you only need to worry about polar bears for the last 100 miles and that you should plan to do it kind of quick.
That's going to be a crazy 100 yeah. miles.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so you're getting some good advice on how to ward them off. You know, there's trip wires that you can use. And
mm-hmm. Flare.
Yeah.
And fireworks, I've heard.
Yeah, so
we'll just spray. Be me and Ann setting off fireworks in the tundra.
Yeah, maybe you want to contact Lonnie Dupree about that. How to set those things up.
Yeah.
Get some help before you leave.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, so there's going to be... you've already seen that kind of terrain, mm-hmm. so that part won't be a big surprise to you. But how about the route now? You've read Eric Severoid's book. You have some idea. Mm-hmm. What do you expect is going to be the most problematic part of this journey?
I think the first part going upstream on the Minnesota, mm-hmm. That... I guess in the last two times it's happened in 2008 and 2005, there was flooding. And so going upstream on the Minnesota was really difficult. And Sean and Colton were the ones who did it in 2008, and they said they would have to tie their boats to trees and sleep in it because there's no, they couldn't get to the land at night or something.
Oh. It would be so flooded.
Because it's so flooded.
Yeah, this year we're expecting high water again.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving a little bit later than they did.
Okay.
They left early May and we're leaving early June.
Yeah, so it hopefully go down a little bit
receded.
By then.
Yeah. Well, it's quite an endeavor. When do you expect to be done?
We built in a lot of extra days in our schedule.
Just
so,
in case.
the last day we think that will be done is September 10th, but we hope to be done before that.
Okay. So September, and you're leaving in June.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 months of paddling and camping. And what do you think you'll miss the most? Anything?
I spend most of my regular days missing trail the most, and so I don't really know.
Yeah.
What are you supported on this trip, or are you taking everything along with you?
We're taking most everything along with us. We're having 3 different food drops, though, along the way. But besides that, everything will be in our canoe, and we're going to try to take as little as possible. Like, we'll have one outfit for the day and one outfit for night, and wear that for 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You won't be going out dancing that much, probably.
I'm leaving my high heels at home.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. And you've done a lot of camping, so you've got the food thing down.
We're sponsored by a co-op in Burnsville, so that's
okay.
Nice, too.
Yeah, yeah. And the stoves, you have extra stove or extra parts and things like that. I'm sure you've all got all that mapped out.
Yeah.
Yep.
That end of it, yeah. Well, it's a very exciting trip.
Thanks.
It's a big trip. And are you gonna come and see us when you're done?
We'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have an invitation, and it'd be great if we could talk to you sometime along the way, but it sounds like that may not be as possible.
Yeah. But depends. We'll let you know if we get a sat phone, and if we do, we could call in.
Yeah, we'll give you our number. I realize that this is hard to know because of the different kind of conditions you're going to run into, but do you have an idea of how many miles a day you want to, or do you think you'll average?
It's really tough because for upstream, it could be 10 to 20 miles. Then on the haze, it could be 60 miles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I hear the end of the haze goes really, really fast, jumping you into Hudson Bay. And so we'll be zooming. But.
And then you take a train and fly back.
We will get picked up at York Factory by a plane. And then we're flying to Gillam, where we'll take a train to Winnipeg. And a friend from Minogen is going to pick us up.
Oh,
what a deal, huh? Yeah, it'd be good to see a friend about that time. And a place to shower and all those kinds of things.
A bed.
Test our social skills.
Now, you must be bringing... what kind of bug dope do you bring? Are you just bringing netting? You're bringing bug dope as well?
We brought some hand lotion on FOMS, so we'll probably bring the same sort of thing. I think it was 100% DEET.
Yeah.
Okay.
But mostly, I think we'll have a bug tent to cook in, and then bug shirts that we have still from FOMS.
And those are really great. They just you zip them up right here over your face.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, kind of get rid of the biggest problem, other than maybe bears.
Yeah.
Or the littlest guys.
That's true.
But there's lots of them. Yeah. Well, we sure want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
You probably won't need much luck, but because you're well-skilled. But you will have to have good weather and things that happen right, no injuries, et cetera.
Definitely, yeah.
So, and if you don't have any luck finding a satellite phone, look me up. Maybe we can find something for you. So,
all right,
anyway,
we'll keep that in mind.
Yeah. We've been speaking with Ann Rejo and Natalie Warren, and they are on their way in June up to Hudson Bay, and they're going to leave right from beautiful downtown Minneapolis. So quite a trip, 2,250 miles through all varied terrain and different speed rivers and different waterways and different animal life. So best of luck again, and we hope to see you when your trip is over.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for
being
here.
Thank you.